Okay, go ahead and give us your name and your contact information and also the name of the organization that you're with.
Okay, my name is Margaret Njuguna and I come from Kenya. And I'm the founder and director of Engedi Children's Home, a ministry that rescues children with disabilities from confinement. It's a ministry that is only 2 years old. I started after working with World Renew for 30 years in different countries, and God called me to this area of ministry that is not supported by a lot of development organizations.
What is your connection with Set Free Ministries?
I was introduced to Set Free Ministries long before I even left World Renew because of their ministry in East Africa. And currently our relationship is channeling our funds from my friends in the US to Kenya. And Set Free Ministries have been able to visit me in Kenya to visit our children's home, and they have seen what I do, and I'm so pleased to be working with them.
Awesome. Can you give me an example of one of the children that you work with and how your ministry has kind of helped them through the ministry you have?
Okay, I would like to mention a little background.
Sure.
Of my call to work with children with disabilities. Through my community work with World Renew, I came through children who have been locked up, who had been hidden and tethered, and I just got an interest on why disabled children are hidden, why disabled people live in the streets, why they are ostracized, why people don't like them. God gave me a burden on them, and I decided I want to quit my work and go and address that issue. And what I have found is that a lot of people believe in myths related to having a child with disability. They think they are bewitched. They think it's a bad omen. People think that if you have a child with disability, you are a carrier of the curse. And we have only operated for almost 2 years, and all our children, we have 12 children who are actively in our program. 11 of them live with us, and one of them, who is our 12th child, has not yet come to live with us, but they have all been referred to us through the local government officers because their parents had neglected them, hidden them. But neighbors knew there were children hidden. One of the boys from the village started to talk in our home. Nobody talked to him in his family, and they told me he doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. And when he came to us, we gave him attention, we gave him love, we started talking to him, and the boy started just talking nonstop. And he talked a language that we didn't know. He talked Kimasai. And I quickly went into the internet to look for words, and he was asking for water, or he was saying, I love you, in Kimasai. Then I called up people who I knew Kimasai, knew some English, and I told them, he talks. So I sent word to his family, to his parents, and said, you come, your child talks. And they came, and the mother cried the whole time that she was there. They made my child talk, and I told her, you never talk to him. He always could have talked, but you never talked to him. David is one of the two kids who talk very fluently at our children's home. So, and he has learned how to hold a pencil. He has learned how to do some coloring. He's just learned how to sit down. He has a very weak spine, but he talks. Mm-hmm. They never talk to him. Now he's learning how to do things, and he knows the names of all our kids. He welcomes visitors. And we did take him back with others to the village for them to see the change in the children.
Wow.
As a way of communicating love and teaching them how to love and talk to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's a worldview. It will take a long time for them to change what they believe in. But we were a big testimony to them. Like two or three villages came together because we have four children that come from the Maasai community. And we had taken three boys and another boy from another area. And they all came. And it's like, he talks. What did you do to him? I showed him love. So that's like a total transformation. And even this time, the mother still cried. It's like, I don't know if it's from regret that she never took care of him or whoever she was. She remained very sad. And it's like, she looks at me and she cries. And it's like, you love my son and you made him talk. He always talked. You never talked to him.
Yeah. Through that story, people probably obviously know that you represent Christ. Even in the villages where some of these children have come from, through some of this testimony, especially of this young boy, has there been anybody questioning or asking about Christ or coming to Christ? Do you have any stories?
One of the things that has happened is I've been told that they're not going to kill their children again. They'll not take their children to the jungle to be eaten by hyenas. They refer to Engedi Children's Home as a heaven for children. They use a Kimasai word. It's the Shumata ya Watoto, like heaven for children. So they know there is a heaven. And then some other communities who believe in a lot of bewitchment, they couldn't figure me initially. They would come and just stare at me and thinking like, maybe I'm also bewitched or I'm a witch or whatever, because nothing is happening to me. And the children love me so much. And eventually they say they can see God in me. I think that's the best statement I ever heard, that they see God and they know children are children of God. So,
what is your background? Where did you grow up? Where were you born, and how did you know the call from God to work in these areas? And how did you hear God's voice to know that this is what you're called to do?
Okay, first of all, I grew up Christian. I'm grateful to my parents. We grew up in church, and I did not learn anything about superstitions and about all that, those myths, because we were brought up as Christians, actually Pentecostals. Mm. And then I got my first job was working for World Renew. I've worked for, that's all my life, or, you know, is working for a Christian organization and sharing Christ. I gave my life to Christ a long time ago, and I decided I want to follow Christ. So when I was working for World Renew in Tanzania, I my attention was caught by a lot of handicapped people living in the streets. And I knew it wasn't one of our strategies to work with the handicapped people within CRWC at that time, now World Renew. But I just decided I want to find out why a lot of them live in the streets. And I started to befriend them, and it took a long time for them to trust in me. Said, you want to make money with us? You want to take our pictures? And said, I'll not even take your pictures. I just want to be friends with you and understand why you are living in the streets. And it took like 6 months for them to accept me, visiting every Saturday morning. And then they give me their stories. When they trusted me, when they were more comfortable with me, they gave me their stories. And I helped them form an association and start coming together. Instead of being beggars, we kind of brainstormed on what they can do so that they're not just begging. Mm. And my organization told me, Margaret, what you're doing is not one of our areas. And I said, let me do this as part of my 10% interest thing that I can do. And they allowed me to do that. Then I said, I'm going to train them. I'm going to help them build their own acceptance, because they have been rejected by their families. They've been rejected by the community. And even the government was like, you are messing up the streets. So sometimes they'll be swept out of the streets and thrown into the backsides. Mm-hmm. So I told them, I'll train you and to do simple crafts, like making jewelry. And they were able to form an association, and they got registered. And I got some money from friends. I included them in my newsletters. And my organization also let me put a small budget for just capacity building, so just training. And eventually, you know, they became an organization. They started doing small microfinance, mm-hmm. and they... You know, I linked them up with other funding organizations. mostly organizations with disabilities. Then when we were sharing their story, they said, can we go to the villages and release a lot of children who are hidden and waiting to be sacrificed? Because they told me they either sneaked away or they were taken by a relative before they were taken for the sacrifice, to be sacrificed to witch doctors. That's why they live in the streets. And not until we helped one child who had been locked up for 5 years, never seen the light of day, couldn't even open their eyes because of the light. So malnourished, and they just waited for that child to die. And I looked at that and I told God, you have given me a soft heart for children, and I think you have right now told me this is where you want me to go.
Mm.
I tried to advocate for us, for my organization, to do something with children with disabilities. We did help orphans in schools, but not for disability. So I decided, God, I will go into this. And I did. A step of faith started with me and God. No finances, nothing. But I told God, you've called me, and I know you'll not let me down. And he hasn't.
Amen.
Mm.
How can our listeners pray for you and the ministry God's placed before you? And first answer that one, and then I'll ask you another question.
Okay. We have so many children that are hidden out there, and we're not able to take all of them now because our current facility is small. We have people who visit, and they come to see our children, and we have been able to share God's love with them. And my commitment to God was, this was a dark corner in ministry, and I had told God that I've accepted to be a medium through which you shine his light. And I have seen people's attitude been changed. And I am so grateful. I am praying that many more parents, and that's why I would want people to pray with me, many parents, many neighbors, will be able to change their attitude towards people with disability, children or parents with children with disabilities, and accept them in the community because they are still ostracized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how can our listeners help you? Where can they, if they feel called to, I guess it's a twofold question, if they feel called to this, where would you suggest they start? And then the second question would be, if they feel like they want to become a partner with your organization, be able to financially help your organization, where can they go to find out that information and be able to support you financially?
We do have a website, which is www.ngedichildrenwithhope.org. And our newsletters are there, and my email address is there. And if anybody is interested, I can include them in my mailing list and keep sharing about what we're doing. If people are interested in helping us financially, I have a proposal that I'm sharing on this trip. And we have acquired land to build a bigger facility because we are full with 12 baby cots. We are full in our house. We've rented just a 3-bedroom house, normal house. It's not very well kind of laid for disability because the hallways are not wide enough for the wheelchairs. And, you know, let me just go back a little bit and say, when I came back to Kenya and I became a member of the local community, local church, my Presbyterian church, people asked me, where are you going to get children with disabilities? Because they didn't see them. They were not there. They could not see them anywhere. And I told them, there are so many children in the neighborhood. I know they are there. They are hidden. They are tethered. You don't see them. Currently, I get average 4 to 5 phone calls a week to go and rescue children. So there are so many children. The minute that I visit, they qualify to come, but they are not able to come because we're full. So we have recently acquired some property and we want to build a bigger home, a bigger facility for even learning. Children who are not able to do anything now can build blocks. They're learning how to make marks on their tablets. And we would really need support in developing this facility so that we take in more children and we have a full, fully equipped therapy room. And we do have a set free ministries right here in Grand Rapids, and they receive all our donations and they give tax free receipts, and they trust in me, they believe in me, they have come and they have seen our facility, and we work together very well. So donations can be sent through Set Free Ministries.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for the work that you're doing. You know, there's not a lot of people that leave everything and really follow Christ. You are a great example of that. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.